Okay, we are now joined by our 2020 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, and that is Austin Cindric. We'll get right to questions. We have several in the queue already. And we'll start down here with Jeff Gluck, and then move on to Bob, and then Jerry Jordan in the press box.
Hey, Austin, in one of your interviews post-race, maybe on MRN or something, you talked about how, you know, when you started Legend Cars, you weren't good and you had to get better. And your message was to aspiring racers out there, you know, it's not where you start, but ultimately you can get better. So over the years, how did you get better? And how did you get better recently enough that you end the season winning more oval races than road course races?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I've driven a lot of different cars. I've had a lot of different teammates and competitors, and I've done a lot of observing as far as, you know, everyone's learning curve is different. You know, my learning curve has required a lot of hard work, a lot of preparation, a lot of studying, a lot of self-criticism. And for me, that's the hard work that I had to put in, and every driver has different things they need to improve on. And for me, when I started out in Bandoleros and Legends cars, I wasn't the kid that had already been go-kart racing for 3 or 4 years. You know, I found it difficult, and then racing when you're already not as fast as you want to be, and, you know, getting run over, and the summer shootout stuff's difficult. I mean, especially as a kid, to understand that, you know, no one wants to give you anything. And then there's parents out there that want to do the same thing to you. It's a tough challenge as a kid. And I was fortunate to have parents and the right people around me. I may not have been in the fastest car every single time when I was a kid, but I had people and they were teaching me hard work. You know, a guy named Stephen Abbey. I mean, he was pretty much my big brother through all. I mean, we travel around the country racing Legends cars, and he taught me to be tough, not to take anything from anyone. And like I said, it's not about where you start, but it's about how you grow yourself. And some of that comes through self-awareness. I figured that out early on in my career. That's what I started to lack, and that's how I grew the most in a short amount of time. But overall, yeah, a lot's happened in a short amount of time in my career, and I probably would have told you 10 years ago that I'd be winning races for Roger Penske at this level, you know, as a 22-year-old. I would have firmly told you that's crazy. So I'm proud to be here. I'm proud of the work that I've put in to get here, and there's still a lot more to go.
Next, we'll go to Bob.
Yeah, I have a couple. First, Roger said that during the pandemic, there was the break, he thought about shutting down the Xfinity team. Did you know that? And at that time, what were you thinking?
I had a very good idea that was a possibility. So for me, that's something out of my control, out of any driver's control. Obviously, someone like Roger Penske, when he says that, you know, you're gonna run the whole year, and he's gonna make sure everything can happen to do that. So I trusted that if it wasn't gonna happen, it wasn't gonna happen. And obviously, we've had great success since that point in the year. And I'm not sure that's a catalyst for it, but that's a lot of motivation. And then to be able to announce, you know, early on in the playoffs that we're coming back for another season, I think it's a great thing, and I think motivates a lot of people in the shop that hard work and preparation and the work that we've put in to have this success does matter. Whether if that's from an internal level or partnership level, I'm sure that it's gone a long way for sure.
And I know we've talked about it before, but does a championship, do you care about perception? Does it help with any perception of people thinking you get what you deserve versus your last name?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really even – that's the first time I've thought about that this whole week. So I guess it's not on the forefront of my mind. But as far as my own perception or the perception of others, obviously we've gone out here and done everything there is to do in the Xfinity Series this year. We've gotten 6 wins. We've gotten both championship trophies. So for me and my team, that's all we need. But the support that I've had this year outside has been – to me, surprising. It's been new to me. You know, when I started, I made a lot of mistakes on a national level, and got told by a lot of people about all the things I do wrong. And this year has been overwhelmingly supportive, and that's been kind of cool to experience. I'm not someone that really reads too many of the comments or anything on social media, but everything that I do see on the things that I post and the people that loyally follow me, it's pretty satisfying to know that I've come that far.
Next, we'll go to Jerry Jordan, then we'll go to Jenna, and then Cole down here.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. We know you guys are friends, but talk about your relationship and the competitive nature with Chase. And we saw him come over there and congratulate you the hug after your celebration down on the track. Just what was that like, and the conversation between the two of you guys?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I know Chase. I mean, he's, as teammates go, he's been one of the most competitive guys I've ever had as a teammate. Just not as far as lap time, but man, when he gets down, he's down, and when he gets up, he's up. You know, he's very, very focused and determined as a competitor. And I know it bothers him that he wasn't able to win the championship today, and for him to come over and congratulate us. I think it speaks to the friendship that he and I have built throughout the last couple of years, you know, especially this year, being able to race close and hard for a championship all year long. I mean, even from the start of the race in Las Vegas, but in tandem with that, to do the work we've done together on the super speedway races, where we're not even teammates, and we have meetings, we call each other every other day before these races and talk about different things we can do to be better. And that's all been set in place by Ford Performance, Mark Rushbrook, Pat DeMarco. Those guys have been really integral in keeping us paired up together. And as he goes to move on to bigger and better things next year, and I'm sure he's going to do really great, filling having some big shoes to fill in the 14 car. And I'll be excited to quietly cheer him on. Hopefully he doesn't beat too many Team Penske cars, but he can finish better than the rest. But it's going to be fun to watch him grow and develop, and try and catch up to him the following year.
Thank you, and congratulations on the championship.
Thank you.
Next, we'll take one from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Austin. Once you cleared Allgaier, you didn't have to win the race. Did it mean something to you to win the race and win the championship at the same time?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, to that point, obviously, I made a sly job to try and win the race there. I think a lot of credit should be given to Noah there. I think his situational awareness of what was at stake between me and the 7 – you know, as far as when we exited turn 4 there, 3 wide, and as far as the final lap there, as we were on equal tires. So I think he did a lot of the right things there, and I appreciate him being respectful in those scenarios. But yeah, winning the race is a big deal. You know, we've won on short tracks, road courses, mile and a half this year, and I wanted a super speedway this year, so that's another box to check for 2021, I guess. But the versatility in the schedule is something I really love about racing in NASCAR, and my career has been about being versatile. And yeah, there's a little bit of pride, but obviously you don't want to throw away a championship. So I didn't go 10/10 into the final corner, but I went 9.9, trying to make sure we solidly seal the deal.
And for a guy who had never won on ovals, you won on an oval to win the championship. I mean, what clicked for you?
I mean, I'm not sure a whole lot's been different since the start of the season. I think this is something that's been a long time coming. I really think about my first time coming here was in 2015, subbing for Austin Terrio in the truck, second truck start. Never seen this place in my life. And I struggled in practice. I had no idea what I was doing. And I started to figure out here and there, and I talked to Max Pappas on the grid, and he's obviously someone that has a background more similar to mine, and he pulled me aside. He says, look, I watched you all practice, and these cars don't do what you think they're doing. Like, they don't do what you're expecting them to do, and we talked about this for a while, and that was a great mindset change for me early on to understand that I have to approach these cars in a different way, and in a lot of ways, a lot of the opposite things make these cars click. And for me, that's been a progression, whether if it's how to get lap time out of the race car or how to ask for what I need throughout a race. And I'm quite proud of that, and I'm quite proud of the relationship I've built with Brian Wilson. He and I trust each other like we're brothers. So it's been fun to build that up, because when we raced here in the spring, I thought we were really good on the bottom. I thought we had a shot to win the race, had a shot to race with Kyle Busch. And as the track moved up, we weren't any good anymore. And I had problems at X, Y, and Z, and I need help here. And we need to do these things to be better. And those guys went to work between Brian and Matt Moat, my engineer, and Cody Sauls. Those guys did an incredible job. I think we tickled a little air pressure out of it today, and that's it. I mean, it's amazing the amount of things we changed and how close we were. I'm very proud of that effort. And I think that's a big deal in my progression on racing on these types of tracks with these types of cars.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
We'll kick it down here to Cole and go up to the press box with Jim.
Cole Cusumano, Popular Speed. First off, congrats on a great season in the championship, Austin. The term growth has been used a lot post-race from yourself, Mr. Penske, and your father. I was wondering, looking ahead to next season, what's one area of growth that you'd like to improve upon before you presumably moved up to the Cup Series?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think for me, it's a lot of the small details that the guys on Sunday do really, really well, whether if that's projecting where the track's going to go or understanding what they need out of their car to be versatile. So those are things that I will continue to hone on. I think it's small details. But next year is not going to be easy. You know, winning races is not going to be easy. There's going to be great guys and great equipment, and we're still going to be able to get the job done. So I think the goals are all still the same as far as regular season and as far as in the playoffs. But on paper, there's not a whole lot left, but for me, there's a lot more left to study, and I'd like to hope to find myself at a capacity where I can stay at the track on Sundays and watch from the spotter stand. That was my goal initially to start the year. And I honestly think that helped me for this race. I stayed for the cup race on Sunday, stood on the spotter stand and watched the whole thing and picked up a lot of things that I felt like either worked or didn't work for me in the race and gave me a lot of time to brainstorm. So I think those are all things that will contribute to my preparation for 2022 with the Wood Brothers. And that's where my main focus is getting better every week.
Next, go to Jim Utter in the press box. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Austin, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your dad reminded us earlier tonight that when you said, I think you're around 10 years old, that you wanted to be a race car driver, you didn't get much support from your dad and mom about pursuing that career. I just wondered what was it that about in you that made you want to keep pursuing it even when you were reminded that mom and dad were only going to do so much and could only do so much, but you still wanted to go that direction?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, for me, I didn't know anything different as a kid, whether if that was, you know, going to the 500 and cheering on Elio and Jill or going to Mid-Ohio and being let loose and being able to walk around the track or take our bikes everywhere. And it's experiences like that from a young age that really I got the bug. And I think I definitely blindsided my parents when I told them that's what I wanted to do. And I definitely got a lot of negative feedback, and so much so that I pretty much wrote it off as, okay, they don't want this to happen, it's no problem. And then my dad came home from work on, I think it was either a Monday or Tuesday night, and he drove me to Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I sat in some kid's bandolero, or I guess it was Matt Wallace's bandolero, Mike Wallace's son, went and sat in his bandolero, and saw what the summer shootout was, and saw a bunch of kids my age doing what I wanted to do. And from there, that turned into a birthday present, which was driving around at the fifth mile, which I'll stem off and tell a really funny story. Ken Reagan, who run 600 Racing, U.S. Legends, was there for my test. I drove Corey Gordon's bandolero, and I'm sitting in the car. I'm on the staging grid, and he's telling me, all right, when you go out on the track, I want you to turn left. Like, he's completely kidding. And I totally took him seriously, pulled out of the staging grid and turned left and went backwards on the racetrack for like 10 laps. And I'm like, man, I'm digging. This is cool. This is a race car. And they're telling me to stop. And they're like, dude, you're going the wrong way. So that's how my racing career started. And we picked up from there.
And can you confirm that one of the things your dad tried to tell you was that you were too tall to be a race car driver?
I've been told I was too tall by a lot of people, and there's not been a single race car that I haven't been able to fit in. some haven't been comfortable. Some have hurt. Some are fine. NASCAR is definitely the roomier of the race cars I've driven. So in more ways than one, this is a great home for me. But the tall thing is a myth as far as I'm concerned. When you got guys like Michael Waltrip squeezing into those twisted up cars they had back in the 2000s, and guys like Justin Wilson driving Indy cars, those were my two main points I hit right off the bat when they told me I was too tall, and they knew I had at least done some homework.
Thank you very much. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Next, we'll take one from Deb Williams. Go ahead, Deb.
Congratulations, Austin. In addition to Coleman Presley having grown up in a racing family, he also drove or has driven late models. How or where has he benefited you the most?
Yeah, I mean, Coleman's been like a big brother to me, and not too many people know about his career, his background, but also the hard work he puts in, whether if that's on the Cup side or not. I mean, he lives about 2 hours away from Mooresville, and he makes the drive to either meet with Brad or myself. And I mean, we do a film review every week to where we talk about certain things. I call him after every race, and whether if it's just a sounding board or a mentor or, or someone that, that's a trusted voice. You know, he puts in the work, and I'm very, very fortunate to have a guy like that in my career, and to help paint the picture for me. You know, there's a lot of things even tonight that we've talked about days in advance that we're able to understand, even when I'm doing subtle things in the race car, and how he sees them from up top, I have no idea, but he sees the things that I'm doing, and gives me feedback from a driver's perspective. And I mean, I've been fortunate to have a lot of great spotters in my career, whether if that's been Coleman, Joey Meyer, Josh Williams. Those guys have probably spent the most amount of time with me in my career. I've had plenty of other guys that I've worked with, but those guys have put in a lot of time with me, and I'm very fortunate for that, because I feel like that's a side in a relationship that doesn't get exploited very often. That's somewhere where I really enjoy his role that he plays within our team.
Just to follow up a little bit on that, you said you like to stay and watch the cup race from the spotter stand. Do you stand there with Coleman when you do that and watch, you know, does he talk to you or explain to you what he's picking up on?
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's got a pretty important job to do, but mm-hmm. I mean, we'll discuss things throughout the whole race. I'll stand right next to him. He'll leave some room for me, and the other spotters are usually pretty friendly about it as well. So, I enjoy doing that because it also gives me perspective. When he gives me feedback, I know what he's seeing. So it works both ways. You know, I need a better perspective as a spotter, just as, you know, his perspective as a driver helps me. So that's been fun for me to do. Like I said, I had initially planned on doing that at every single Sunday this year, and obviously that's not able to happen. I think that's any time you can watch race cars going around the racetrack, you learn something.
Okay. Thank you. And again, congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
Go again to Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Austin, there's winning a championship, and I imagine someone like you might think, and then there's winning a championship for Roger Penske. What does that mean to you to be a Penske champion?
Yeah, I think it goes on a couple of different levels. Obviously, when you race for Roger Penske, you're expected to be successful because we have the resources we have amazing partners, and we have the equipment to be able to get it done. So Brian and I have to go to work on that and be able to continue to prove that. So I think in some ways for him and me, it's a relief that we can have some success. But at the same time, to win for Roger Penske, you know, someone that's not only put a lot into my career, but has believed in a lot of drivers and has believed in my future. And it's great to be able to give back on that investment. But also at the same time, when you look at the season that Team Penske's had in 2020, you know, Joseph having such a close chance at the IndyCar Championship, Scott winning the V8 Championship, and he was also here today, which was cool. And then obviously the Cup guys have a shot on Sunday, and the IMSA guys have a shot next weekend at Sebring. So every single program has a shot at a championship, and to be part of that, but also to check our box and make sure we've done our part is pretty neat. And it's a fun culture inside that place. And it's been difficult not to go inside the building. I mean, I haven't really been inside the shop since March, and I'm someone that's at the shop every single day and, says hi to most of the people I see. And, that's been a difficult aspect of this year for me. And, hopefully we can all get together and celebrate a championship the right way.
Thanks, Austin.
Take our next one from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Austin. Just one question. Is there one area in particular where you feel you've made the biggest gains? Because looking at your career, you're more of a classically trained race car driver, where a lot of these kids are, you know, even your best buddy, Chase, have come from dirt, but you're more classically trained. Is there one area in particular where you feel like you have gained the most?
I mean, for me, my perspective, I feel like is definitely broader. And that's been an advantage to me and a disadvantage to me in my racing career. I've driven a lot of different cars, a lot of racetracks, a lot of teams, and a lot of people. I've been exposed to a lot, and it's taught me that a race car is a race car. It's got a motor and four wheels. And I feel like that perspective has helped me look at things clearly. And I usually don't make the same mistake twice because of that. So understanding what makes things work and putting a reason behind it, whether if that's asking Brian why certain things work. I mean, I'm not going to tell him what spring to put in the car, but if he explains to me why things work the way they work, I can give him better feedback. And with no data, with this not being a data-driven sport in NASCAR, I think that puts a lot of emphasis on me and what I can do to help Brian and the team develop our cars and that hard work that goes into it. So I feel like in the last couple of years, I've learned a lot about that. You know, early on in my stock car career, I didn't have trouble finding speed. I mean, you know, in 2018, which was probably my most highly criticized year in racing. I mean, I had several pole positions and, you know, I was fast in practice all the time and I would unload fast, but, that doesn't cut it in NASCAR. And, I've learned, I feel like the right things to have the right foundation to continue improving on that.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we'll wrap up our championship press conference with Mitchell Brewer. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Austin, you tweeted effort equals results when talking about your future plans earlier this year. Using that same mindset, what does it mean to have effort you put forth with a successful season and with a championship?
Yeah, without a doubt. Obviously, that's the goal. Obviously, that's the mantra, Team Penske, effort equals results. And I don't boast the work that I put in, but I feel like there's very little I leave on the table as far as preparation. And I feel like this year in particular, with not having practice and not having a lot of, whether if it's Darkfish or pictures or lap times or lap tracker to lean on, that preparation is that much more critical. And as a team, I feel like we already had the maximum set in place for what we do before every weekend. And I'm very proud of that. So for all of that preparation to lead to future opportunities, for all that preparation to lead to two championships this season, it means a great deal, and it motivates me to continue to push that envelope and to continue to have that mindset, because that's what's gotten me here.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, Austin, that is it. Congratulations again on the championship. Outstanding year, outstanding race, and thank you for all the time.
Thank you.
He doesn't need to rebound. Okay. Post-race inspection in the NASCAR Xfinity Series garage is complete. All clear. Lug nut violations, one lug nut each, not safe and secure for the number 7, 8, and 22 cars. Engine teardown will take place tonight. We'll send another update once that is complete, but teardown of the car is complete and all clear.